Well, we can truly say a day spent in thy courts is better than a thousand. A tremendous day. I appreciate the service downstairs, the lovely food, and the Christian fellowship has been absolutely superlative. I was really touched again singing that hymn, "It is well with my soul." We ask ourselves the question tonight, is it well with our soul? I've been going to the Bahamas now for almost 30 years, and as much as said to me, "Brother Neil, you should take out Bahamian citizenship." Well, I said, I've been a citizen of Great Britain, and I've been a citizen for the US for 40 years. I'm a citizen of heaven, but I don't think I want to be a citizen of the Bahamas. But it has been my privilege over the years to go to the leper colony in Nassau. And one day I went to speak to these dear men. And one gentleman called Albert had an accordion. And he said, "Do you mind if I play my favorite hymn? Fingers all deformed with leprosy. Spit." I said, "No, I'd be glad to hear your favorite hymn." And he began to play with such enthusiasm, "It is well with my soul." His friend, Mr. Neely, said, "Could we sing my favorite hymn?" I said, "What's your favorite hymn, Mr. Neely?" He said, "The great physician now is near, the sympathizing deep." I was deeply moved. I said, "Men, it's very evident it's not well with your bodies. Leprosy. But thank God it is well with your soul. But one day, it will be well with your body as well as your soul. And we shall be conformed, body, soul, and spirit, like unto the Lord Jesus." Come with me, please, again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Once again, our basic scripture, "What mean ye by these stones?" And these were a memorial for Israel forever. And what is the lesson to Israel is a lesson for you and me. Deuteronomy 33:3, and reading verse 7. "And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. May his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." Hear the voice of Judah. What mean ye by this stone? Well, we looked at Reuben and suggested on that stone you could write the word salvation. Let Reuben live and not die. What shall we say concerning this stone, Judah? You could put on that stone supplication. Hear the voice of Judah. But beloved, God will never hear our voices until first of all we hear his voice. And it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of the Lord. Song of Solomon, the bride said, "Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Yes, the Lord Jesus, his voice is sweet. How sweet is thy voice. 10 years ago, I was facing complicated heart surgery. And my beloved brother came down with his wife to be with my wife and the children and the grandchildren facing complicated surgery in the Mass General Hospital in Boston. They just left, and I felt the loneliness. I got a telephone call, and this brother said, "Well, Brother Neil, if you don't make it, we'll meet up there." Similar experience to my brother mentioned today. Well, that great theology, and absolutely true. But when you're leaving your wife, and your children, your grandchildren, your colleagues, the work that you love, it's a different story. I've been there. I got into the room in the Mass General Hospital. I said, "Lord, give me a verse." I opened my Bible, read it hundreds, thousands of times. Psalm 118, my eye went right down to that verse. "The Lord is my strength my song, and he's become my salvation. And listen to this, thou shalt not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord, that was chasing me sore, but this is not unto death. How sweet is his voice. We must first of all listen to his voice before he will listen to our voices. Remember in the epistle to the Hebrews chapter 3, he speaks. And he was the voice of conviction. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The voice of conviction, and God speaks 24 hours a day. Not willing that any should perish, that souls might repent and come to him, the living God, and to enjoy his great salvation. The voice of conviction. How sweet is the voice of God when we realize that he is speaking to warn us from impending judgment. That voice was precious to the sisters in Bethany when he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come home. The voice of conviction, the voice of consolation. Lazarus came home, out of the tombs. For a moment, when they heard that voice, he cried with a loud voice. How sweet is his voice. Revelation 3:20, again, we hear his voice. The voice of consolation and confirmation. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Many years ago, a young medical student went through Delaware, Maryland, selling a product just to gain, make some extra money for his studies. His name was Howard Kelly, a medical student. Very hot, sunny day, boiling heat, he knocked at a farm door, and he spoke to the young lady who opened the door. And he said to her, would it be possible for you to give me a glass of water? It's such a hot day. She said to him, would you like a glass of milk? Oh, he said, I'd be glad to take a glass of milk. So he enjoyed the glass of milk. She said, would you like another glass? And she gave him the second glass of milk. He says, how is it? What's your name? Emily. How is it that you're so kind to strangers? Well, she said, Mom and Dad raised us to be kind to strangers. He thanked her profusely, went on his way. Years later, he became one of the most outstanding surgeons in the Johns Hopkins Memorial Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. Going round checking his patients, and in the corner, he looked at this lady amongst other ladies, and he thought her face was familiar. He went over, he said, what is your name, my dear? She said, my name is Emily. But the surname was different from the name that he got on the farm. You see, meanwhile, she got married. But he put the wheels in motion, and it was the same Emily. He got her transferred from that room and put her in a private room. And then he got a nurse round the clock to work personally on Emily. And then the rehabilitation and all the comforts that were available in the hospital were given to Emily. Finally, the day of her discharge, she got the bill. So she almost had a heart attack when she saw the bill. But further down the page was written these words, paid in full for a glass of milk. He knocked at the door. She answered. And oh, the productivity that came out of that opening. And beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ knocks at the door, and hears a voice of confirmation, if any man, any woman, open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Again, while facing the surgery on the heart, I got a letter from a 12-year-old girl from Dearborn, Michigan. She had heart surgery sometime before. And she writes to me telling me she was praying for me. 12 years of age. Her grandfather told me when she had the surgery, the doctor explained to her what he had done. And then she said to him, could I ask you a question? He said, sure. She said, when you opened up my heart, did you see Jesus there? I will come in. The voice of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how sweet is his voice. Here, Moses said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. The first record of a man speaking to God in the Bible was Adam. Look for a moment, please, to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Adam, where art thou? I heard thy voice. Here is a man praying to God. First recorded prayer in the scriptures. He acknowledged in that prayer that he had been the target for deception that we've been hearing today. Satan is a liar from the beginning. Oh, he can come in as an angel of light. And Adam and Eve were deceived. And in that prayer, he recognized and revealed the deception. And then he was conscious of the distance. I hid myself. So holy is our God. And the impact of sin on Adam, he hid himself from the Holy God. And he recognized and he confessed not only there was deception and distance, but there was destitution. He says, I was naked. Desperation, he says, I was afraid. He had lost confidence in his wife. He had lost confidence in himself. And that's what God acknowledges. God accepts when we confess our sin to him. And so God answered his prayer. How good it is to confess that we are sinners in the sight of the Lord. And so God answered his prayer. Hear the voice of Judah, hear the voice of Adam. And here is the answer to his prayer. God promised him a deliverer. One that would take care of the sin question. Because he said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So Adam that day made a great discovery. His prayer was answered. And he got a preview of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Not the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman. And the virgin that brought the Lord Jesus, the vehicle that brought him in to this world, was the seed of the woman. A deliverer. And it was essential, beloved friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ take upon himself humanity, in order that he might become our kinsman redeemer. There is no other way. And a cleric in England said recently that a virgin birth is an absolute impossibility. A cleric. If there's no virgin birth, there's no salvation for you and me. Job says, who can bring a clean man out of an unclean thing? And the answer is God. He brought the clean man, the Lord Jesus, out of the unclean thing. He was assured of the incarnation, the seed of the woman. But he also got a preview of the crucifixion. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and he in turn would bruise his heel. And we were referring to the waters from above and around and underneath the Lord Jesus as he went into those waters of Jordan. And also in an answered prayer, not only was the deliverer promise and the deliverance through the cross, but there was the destruction of Satan, who has caused all the problems with mankind. And then he was overcome with God's grace and delight. God clothed the naked couple with skins. In other words, a sacrifice had been made. And in the book of Genesis, it's all burnt offering. Burnt offering. And a burnt offering was all for the glory of God. The offerer got the joy of bringing the sacrifice. And the priest got the skins. And here is Adam and Eve, if you will, standing in priestly capacity with the skins of the burnt offering. And he called her Eve, the mother of all living, when actually she was the mother of all dying. But see, in faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Supplication. Hear the voice of Judah. You know, brothers and sisters, we talk about believing in prayer. We ask ourselves the question, do we really believe in prayer? The least attended meeting of all the meetings in my travels is the prayer meeting. And that should be the most important meeting apart from the worship meeting. Hear the voice of Judah, supplication. If we fail to pray, the cross of Christ is denied. And if we fail to pray, the church of God is deprived. Again, if we fail to pray, the cross of Christ is denied. The Lord Jesus, one of the miracles, the six miracles around the cross, was that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. A new and living way was opened up. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the rent veil, that is to say, his flesh. My joy some time ago to go behind the pulpit of Robert Murray McChain in the memorial church there in Dundee, Scotland. And I was filled with emotion. You could almost feel the presence of that man of God in that room. His pulpit was eroded with his tears. And the custodian came in and said, would you like to see Robert Murray McChain's Bible? I said, I sure would. And it was wrapped in newspaper. I said, that should be in a glass case. Remember, I wrote that hymn, Jehovah said, can you, is all things to me, when this passing world is done. During the days of Robert Murray McChain, he died at 29 years of age. There were 39 prayer meetings going on in Dundee, Scotland in 1 week. 39, and 5 including children. No wonder Scotland was rocked with revival. Yes, it cost our beloved Savior everything to open up that veil for you and I to come into his holy presence. And the church of God is deprived when we fail to pray. My brother Boyd and I had meetings in Rexville in Toronto, and God was moving, souls were being saved. And the secret was tremendous prayer meetings. And in particular, an old lady, she now has passed away just a year ago, 100 years old. And she could look from her apartment into the gospel hall. She saw the lights were still on. Her sister Betty came out from Scotland. And she says, Betty, these boys are still working at it. She called Boyd and I her spiritual twins, some twins. These boys are still working at it. And one morning at 3 a.m, she said to her sister, Betty, get out of bed, 3 a.m. He were lying in bed and sinners on their way to hell. Prayer. Prayer is a soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer. Little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. In those meetings in Toronto, a man just got saved 2 or 3 nights previously, and there was prayer meetings before and after each gospel meeting for 6 weeks. And this gentleman just saved, and they were downstairs praying, and we were working upstairs with some souls seeking salvation. And they'd finished the prayer meeting, and they're coming upstairs. And this gentleman just saved, with his Cockney accent, they pushed them back down again. More prayer, more prayer, more prayer. Pushed them back. That's the secret of blessing. Hear the voice of Judah. Very quickly tonight, we think of prayer's pattern. And that pattern, that prayer pattern is the Lord Jesus. Luke's gospel, the gospel of the humanity. And he's always praying. Coming up out of those waters, you remember, the waters of baptism, and there the Lord Jesus Christ was praying. Spent all night in prayer to select the disciple. He's over that captious city of Jerusalem. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Cyclone and grief enveloped the Ark of the Covenant as those waters rolled over his soul. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there on the cross, he's praying. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I'm convinced it was that prayer that shook the centurion. Matthew says the centurion and those that were with him, that's the soldiers responsible for putting the nails into his hands, his feet, the crown of thorns on his hand, and the spear rips out. The centurion and those that were with him said, truly, this was the Son of God. They put their life in jeopardy, but they declared the deity, the Lord Jesus, and that's how you can say it. You must recognize our sinnership and the deity of the Lord Jesus. Prayer pattern. He's always seen praying. Surely we should emulate him more and more. And even this fellow behind the pulpit has to make an adjustment from time to time relative to the time spent in prayer. But it is most productive. When we go into the sanctuary and we hear our brethren pray, it's elevating. It's encouraging. As we handle the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Excuse me reminiscing, but we were in Curtis in Detroit. The old devil was busy. The young man rose, his name was Tom. Choking with emotion. He says, Lord, increase our passion for souls. And he sat down. The next man to get up was told not to pray publicly because he had a bad heart, to avoid emotion. As soon as Tom sat down, up got this other brother. He said, I didn't care if I dropped down dead. That was the beginning of the meeting. God came in. Yes, we need more prayer. And there is prayer's pattern. Then we're also encouraged with prayer's potential. Prayer's potential. God says in Jeremiah 33, call upon me and I will answer. Hear the voice of Judah. Call upon me and I will answer. And do great and mighty things that ye knew not of. See, beloved, here is the certainty of it. God says, I will answer. He loves to hear the prayers of his people. He's not looking for fancy vocabulary. He wants a genuine expression of feeling. Down in New Jersey, an immigrant from Italy struggling with the English language, an intellectual said, brother, why don't you sit in your seat and leave that to people who know the language and the procedure? He says, brother, it might be upside down when it leaves here, but it's right side up when it reaches there. To all our prayers and praises, Christ adds a sweet perfume, and love the senses raises those odors to consume. God will answer. He is a benevolent God, endless resources, and he will answer our prayers. Yes, no, and sometimes wait. But here's a certainty, I will answer. Not only the certainty of it, but the comfort of it. God will answer. When you think of who he is, the eternal God, willing to listen to you and me, sinners saved by precious blood, is absolutely awesome. God will answer. Endless resources at his disposal to bless his beloved people. The certainty and the comfort. And oh, how he brings comfort. Just read in your paper yesterday, Michael Jordan will bring the Bulls into the promised land. And I just sat there and I thought, thanks be to God that the Ark of the Covenant will bring his sheep into the promised land. Oh, the comfort of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, the comfort that we derive from being associated with the Ark of the Covenant. The great Harry Moorhouse came to your city of Chicago. He met D.L. Moody over in England, and he wanted to come to the great USA. So Moody says, yeah, you come along. And so goes the history of this dear man of God, Harry or Henry Moorhouse. So Moody said to the elders of the church, give the young Englishman one night and see how he does. He was going away. Well, Harry Moorhouse preached that night on John 3:16. Heart was moved. And the elders were overwhelmed. So they said, you carry on. Next night, Tuesday, John 3:16. Wednesday, John 3:16. Friday, Moody comes back. Said to his wife, how is the young Englishman doing? She says, I never heard such preaching. Wives have got a way of deflating the ego of their husbands. Moody listened to Harry Moorhouse that night, for Friday on John 3:16. And Harry Moorhouse became the man that changed the man that changed the world. Moody's preaching took on a new dimension. And he preached more about the love of God than ever before. So Harry Moorhouse went to visit an old lady in the hospital, and it was very evident she was in the valley of the shadow, and her time down here was very, very near an exit. So he said he thought he would comfort her. Well, my dear, he says, this is the best verse for you in all the Bible right now. In my Father's house are many mansions. No, she says, Brother Harry, it's the next verse that's most precious to me right now. That where I am, there he may be also. You see, Harry was occupied with the promised land, the place, but she was wanting to be occupied with a person. No subject so glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. The comfort God will answer. And then the climax in Jeremiah 33, beyond expectation, things that we could never dream of, become a reality when God listens to the voice of Judah, when God listens to the voice of his beloved people. Call upon me and I will answer and do great and mighty things that ye do not know. What a God is ours. Beyond expectation unlimited. You remember Abraham, he prayed for preservation. And I tell you, you and I need to pray more and more each day for preservation. Preserve me, O God, says the psalmist, for in thee do I put my trust. Satan is working overtime, as we've been hearing, and we need to be preserved morally and physically and spiritually. He prayed for preservation. This man, Moses, prayed for victory. We are assured of victory, beloved, because we are linked with the Ark of the Covenant. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are on the victory side because we belong to the Lord Jesus. Samson prayed for strength. The Lord knows that we need to be strengthened day by day. These old bodies give us a lot of problems. I was just saying to a friend the other day that I've got more cuts in my body than an African witch doctor. Thank God he keeps pouring in strength and he keeps us going. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who keeps on pouring his strength into me. Samson, he prayed for strength. And Hannah, you remember, prayed for a man-child. And God sure answered her prayer. Oh, what a choice vessel she got. And Samuel, young lad, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And became one of the greatest vehicles in the history of Israel. Unlimited. The avenues of prayer. And we should pray every day the prayer of Habakkuk. He prayed for revival. And we sure, beloved, need revival. Revive thy work, O Lord. O for the floods in a thirsty land, O for a mighty revival. O for a sanctified, fearless band ready to hail its arrival. And you remember Jabez, that is a tremendous prayer in 1 Chronicles 4. Jabez, he prayed for blessing. Just for a moment, I don't want to keep you too late tonight because you've been very, very patient. It's been a long day. But just quickly to see the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4. 1 Chronicles 4 and 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coasts, and that thine hand might be with me. and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Notice, friends, quickly, it was a passionate prayer. Feeling. Oh, that thou. God loves to see an expression of reality. Not like the Pharisees, but he wants an expression of reality in our prayers. It was a passionate prayer. And it was a provisional prayer, if thou wilt bless me indeed. Newbery's translation, thy will be done. A passionate prayer. And God is quick to react to a passionate prayer. My brother and I were just talking about one time we went out to Victoria, British Columbia for gospel meetings. And we had a great beginning. The worship meeting lasted 1 hour and 40 minutes. We both agreed it was the most moving experience that we had in probably 20 or to 30 years. The worship of the Lord drew out the affection of God's people. Passionate prayer. And God came in and blessed and souls were saved. It was a personal prayer. He says, oh, that thou would bless me. God loves to deal collectively, but also with the individual. And he's such a benevolent, gracious God that he's willing to look upon you and me as individual, the sheep of his pasture. And he's willing to bless us. And it was a positive prayer. That thou might bless me indeed. Bless me richly. Actually, in truth. And it was a pointed prayer. It was right to the point. And it was a prayer, praiseworthy prayer. And finally, it was a prevailing prayer. The Lord granted him that which he requested. Prayer's pattern, the Lord Jesus. Prayer's potential. And finally, we have prayer's priority. Paul writes to young Timothy. He addresses the young man and he longed for a prayer life to be generated. Paul says again to the Philippians, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will garrison your hearts and your mind. What a timely message from Paul in the prison to the saints at Philippi. Moody, D.L. Moody, put that verse in focus. He says, be anxious about nothing and pray for everything and be satisfied with anything. What a timely message. And so Paul says, I exhort, first of all, supplication and intercession. And giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer's priority. And in our service for the Lord Jesus, that she be the number one priority. After the worship meeting is prayer. Hear the voice of Judah. Supplication. And I trust as a result of the ministry today, that there will be spiritual adjustments in your life and mine. That will be more dedicated in the service of the Lord, and that he will receive much thanksgiving and praise from our redeemed heart. Great be so, for his name's sake.